Hi everyone, and welcome to Barefoot with Spirit podcast show and also to members of the Mediums Lounge. I am your host, Leanne, the Barefoot Medium, and I'm incredibly excited to connect with you. For those who don't know me, I'm an international medium, channel, twin flame, and transformational coach who is blessed to be able to connect people with those that have passed over. And to also bring through channeled guidance to support you to come into union with your twin flame, soulmate, and manifest what your soul needs, wants, and desires in life. Before we get started, I'd like to take a moment to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land on which I and my guest are present and to pay our respects to elders past, present, and emerging. I extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples and First Nations people from around the world. Kick off your shoes, take some really beautiful deep breaths into your heart space, and step into this spiritual sacred container with my guest and I as we have a deep conversation about navigating toxic relationships and imposter syndrome. Welcome, Justine.
Thank you. It's lovely to be here again.
I know, I love having our conversations and seeing where they go. So thank you so much for joining me. And I know that this is a huge topic, which we've spoken about on a number of occasions, and I know that you have lots of knowledge and wisdom that you can share. So for those who don't know, Justine is a coach, a mentor, a confidant who helps people who are struggling with their identity and sense of purpose in life. So, where do we even start when it comes to toxic relationships and imposter syndrome? Maybe let's start with what is a toxic relationship?
Well, I think anywhere where you're questioning your worth in a relationship, if you're Googling what your partner's, how your partner's behaving or treating you because you're not sure if that's normal, that's a big red flag. And anywhere where you're being made to feel small or you've got to change who you are in order to fit into the relationship, and also boundaries not being respected, your needs not being met, and you feeling uncomfortable or lonely or abused, it can be quite, it doesn't need to be very overt, big stuff. Sometimes it can be very behind the closed doors.
Yeah. And I like how you've said that because I think it's really important that people know that there are relationships we can be in that can have toxic behavior patterns in them that may not, they may be small, they may be large. And I know that there is quite a bit of the word narcissism and narcissistic abuse and all of the narcissist and all of those labels that are going around at the moment. And so I wanted to kind of flag a little bit that there's a difference with calling someone a narcissist because, with my psychology background in particular, there's a difference between a diagnosed narcissistic personality disorder. It is a disorder. And someone who displays narcissistic traits.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Narcissism can only be clinically diagnosed, from my understanding. And if we want to get really technical, well, not even technical, the truth of it is we all have some narcissistic trait in us at some stage, and sometimes always, even in minor ways.
Yeah, and I think that's really important because that word gaslighting often goes with narcissists, and it gets thrown around quite a lot, and love bombing and those sorts of things, and we in the wrong relationship for us can also engage in those toxic patterns of gaslighting or love bombing or whatever, when our insecurities come up, right? And it doesn't mean we're narcissistic personality disorder, a narcissist. It means that we're displaying some toxic behaviors in a relationship. And it might be triggered from past stuff that's coming up. And, we might gaslight ourselves even.
Oh, absolutely. That's the thing I think that's really interesting to learn is that we can actually gaslight ourselves. And when we're displaying those behaviors in a relationship, generally it's out of fear. It's a coping mechanism. We're trying to achieve a result and we don't know how else to do it. And noting that we learn what we live, all of those behaviors are learned from childhood experiences or ordeals. And so if, because one of the big questions I get, and you probably do too, is how did I end up? How come I always choose people that are like that? And it's because you don't know how not to. And it's because you were taught by your parents or primary caregivers to accept that behavior. And then when we're kids, as you were saying, sometimes we use that behavior and treatment of others in order to feel accepted, safe, loved, validated. So we either learn to tolerate it or become it. I know that there's a spectrum in between, but that's generally what can happen.
And I like how you bring in that element of the word fear and that side of things, because really we've got love or fear. And fear has us step into behaviors that may not be as healthy or in integrity with our values and our goals even in life. And we can manipulate in order to try and get what we want. And I say that in that way because, I've even noticed and witnessed, my niece and nephew or other children that are coming out of relationships, family relationships or broken homes. And I use that term loosely, broken homes, because it, the original family unit has split and it's creating a new family unit that is hopefully more healthy, rather than the toxic one that you've maybe stepped out of. And I've witnessed kids in particular stepping into, wanting to get dad's attention and then it can be mum as well. I've witnessed kids trying to get dad's attention, and the way in which they do that is engage in manipulative, toxic behaviors because they don't know how else they get seen, heard, and loved.
I mean, kids just want approval and connection from their parents. And manipulation is something that kids do really well. And it's not insidious or sinister because it's just all they know. I don't know if you've heard the phrase people pleasers started out as parent pleasers. So people pleasing is actually something that we do to manipulate. You know, you'll find people who say yes to everything. Because they want to be approved of and connected and loved and appreciated. But because they're allowing themselves to be a doormat and they're people pleasing everyone, that is a manipulation tactic. Then they start to resent the people that they're helping because they're not actually getting what they want. It's a shallow, and it's like you can't achieve a healthy result manipulating others. Whether it's in order to feel love or in order to avoid conflict or criticism.
Because and even if you did get a little bit of what you want and what you're after, it's not long term and sustainable, right? And so that's why often in relationships we have patterns that play out where it might change for a little bit and then it reverts back because we're not really fixing the underlying issue or transforming or changing or shifting or healing it. And I love how you talk about, people pleasing and the parent pleasing behavior because, we want to be approved of and accepted and feel loved. And, sometimes we don't understand how to communicate our emotions, our thoughts, our insecurities, or what we need. And we often don't get taught to do that either.
100% we don't get taught. Like we learn to love by being loved, by the way our parents love us. We learn to connect and communicate by the way that they connect and communicate with us. And when we're a little person, we make decisions about what everything means, and it's all about us, not in any other way than kids just don't know. We've got the emotional maturity of a carrot. So when something happens and we're four, for example, and dad comes home from work really cranky and he's slamming doors and whatnot, we make it mean that there's something wrong with us. So even when our parents are abusive or neglectful, we're still trying to please them because we think it's our fault. If mum's angry, it's my fault. So we grow up thinking everything's our fault. And if we've had an example from parents who have narcissistic traits or who have depression and who are struggling with their own stuff, like I think, how on earth can we learn how to adult properly if we're not modeling that? And I think the other thing is, even when we have abusive parents, whether that's psychological, sexual, physical, or even just through their own ordeal as a child. I think this is an assumption that everybody makes, is that everyone else is okay and I'm the one that's messed up. And that's not the truth. Our parents are still recovering and reeling from however they were brought up. And so, we assume we get angry that our parents, and I'm angry that my parents didn't give me what I needed emotionally, all of the things, right? And then I got to a stage about 20 years ago when I had done enough study and work where I realized that they are a product of their upbringing and they couldn't not choose each other. Both were children of violent alcoholics. So they learned, remember I said earlier, you either become it or tolerate it. So they were like magnets for each other. And they were used to being gaslit and controlled and fearful and all of that. So how on earth could they have parented their kids in a healthy way? And so I learned to, my mum displayed just about every narcissistic trait in the book, and I'm still recovering from that. So I learned to become a people pleaser because the messages that I got and the messages that I made up as a little person shaped who I became as a young adult. And we all do that in one way or another. Even people who say, I've been brought up in a wonderful family, there's nothing wrong. Quite often, they're the most interesting to work with.
And I think we have to remember that we bring ourselves to every relationship that we have. And I love that you talked about, kids, as kids, we have the emotional, like we're like carrots, we're solo, right? And we create stories about what love, relationships, communication, all of those things are, based on our observations and our experiences and how we feel inside. And so that becomes the story that we end up moving forward with and making true, right? And so,
Absolutely.
and for those that are watching or listening, you're here because you've discovered this for a reason and you have an opportunity to become present and aware of what's the story I'm telling myself about what my parents did or what my ex-partner or my current partner is doing. Where is it within that mix that you can take a breath, pause, and choose to focus back on you? And that can be incredibly challenging when you're in amongst that. I've been there, done that. And like I said, that the gaslighting, and we haven't really even touched on what that is. We've talked about gaslighting and people pleasing and control, and they're all some of those toxic behaviors that we can engage in ourselves and or we can allow in our relationships. And what we need in relationships is learnt as well. And we often don't take the time to stop, pause, and go, hang on, what is it that I'm trying to get here? Or what is it that I need here? Is it emotional safety? Is it, someone to tell me that I'm okay, that I'm loved and I'm, cared for and supported or adored or whatever it might be? Or is it that I need someone physically with me in order to, feel secure and safe? And so, coming back to that for that awareness is where it all begins, isn't it? And we have to unpack it. And sometimes that's the messy work that we don't like to do, don't like to look at.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head there about what's our intention when we are displaying a certain behavior. Because if we go into it unconsciously, the little child in us is desperate for the thing. And so we revert to old learned behaviors in order to get that. So I'm trying to find the words here. There's a phrase, we get to be who we needed when we were younger. So when we were younger and we made a decision about what an event means, we carry that story. And until we stop and go, right, what am I trying to get out of this? What do I need? Why do I need it? Who's the best person to get it from? And also acknowledge that our strategy in the past isn't working. It's astounding how many times we will repeat behavior in order to get the thing when we haven't identified what it is specifically we really need and haven't acknowledged that that repeated behavior isn't working.
And how do we do that while we're in the midst of the mess in a toxic relationship, for example? If we're in a toxic relationship that is, where we're experiencing gaslighting or control or love bombing or manipulation or any of those other toxic behaviors, how do we know?
Because we feel bad. If you pay attention to how you feel, if you're not free to speak up, if you're not free to have to be who you are, if you've had to change who you are in order to fit into that relationship, if you go to bed afraid, I can guarantee you the person that makes you cry every day or feel lonely is not your person. It's about, because sometimes we're afraid to leave that relationship. And the reason is that we're fear of abandonment. We don't feel that we're good enough because we must acknowledge that we chose that relationship and we chose to stay with that person. The red flags you ignore in the beginning are the very reason that it ends and ends badly. So it's acknowledging, I chose this. So why am I tolerating this? What is it that I believe about myself and the world around me that has me choosing this? And if you find it very hard to acknowledge it, because it's extremely confronting to go, shit, I have chosen this for the last 17 years or however long, it's very confronting to acknowledge that. Think to yourself, think about someone you love dearly, like one of your children. I often find that's really good to use a child and say, how would you feel if you knew that your child was going through exactly the same thing? I've never had anybody not say, oh my God, I would get them to get out really quickly and I would help them. And when I say why, they answer, well, they deserve it. They deserve to feel safe and to feel happy and have peace of mind and love. And my next question is, well, you deserve that too. But it is scary when you're in it and it's about getting support and keep asking until you get the right support.
And I think that's really important that, you and I both had those experiences and for me personally, it's been in romantic relationships as well as friendships with females and in the workplace, right? So, there's a whole gamut of where we can experience that. And even, as a child, experiencing bullying at school is also part of those toxic behaviors that we, learn to navigate or don't. And I know that when we're in it, we have this gut feeling and this little thing that goes on that's like, oh, it's a little inner struggle that we have. And, I've recently done that with a friendship connection with a female, and then stepped back a little bit and gone, oh, hang on a minute. As soon as I stepped back, I could then witness all of the behaviors that were, gaslighting and manipulation and using and control and, manipulation and love bombing. And I'm like, oh, hang on a minute. Oh, this is why I felt like. And what I noticed and what I became aware of for me was that one of my patterns was overstepping my own boundaries around disrespect and, because I was seeing potential in, and this was the same in romantic relationships in my past, seeing their potential rather than who they are.
Yes.
And I was giving so many opportunities and having conversations about, this is not okay for me, this is the boundary. And I give another chance when it was overstepped. And I was like, hang on, what is it within me that is allowing that?
Yeah. And you know where it comes from, right? Our parents. Because when our parents make us feel bad, or when we decide that something they've done has made us feel bad and we're not good enough, we don't stop loving our parents, we stop loving ourselves. And that's sort of to make something complex quite simple, then we keep doing that with our friends. If I was good enough, they wouldn't be treating me like this, so I'm going to be better. I'm going to give them more allowances. When you're a little person, you can't control how your environment around your parents. So if you're in an unsafe environment, or you've got a parent who's got some narcissistic traits, you can't remove yourself from that situation. You have to live with them. So you have to learn, as a little person, we learn to make excuses for their behavior, and we'll explain it away to ourselves. And that's,
And that's
you know,
another toxic trait,
yeah,
right? Is the
yes.
excusing, right? And so I love it.
Yeah.
I want to go back a little tiny bit if I
Sure,
can.
sure.
Tell me what gaslighting is.
Gaslighting is when somebody will convince you that you didn't, that something that you believe happened didn't happen, or wasn't said, or wasn't meant the way that it was said. They literally, it's an art of confusion. So they will make you doubt yourself, and they'll say, I didn't say that. I didn't say that, or I didn't mean that, or I wasn't late. You were early. And just, it can be little things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting how we do that, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I've caught myself doing that at times when
Oh, yeah.
it's a really unhealthy, unconscious reaction. And it's not a response because a response is more conscious and present. And a reaction is something that we get triggered or the button gets pushed. Whether it's around an old trauma or an old belief, an old pattern that sits there that goes, oh, that didn't happen. That's not
Yeah.
what I said.
Yes. And
Right.
the, yeah. And another good one is if they realize they're losing control over you, or even in the throes of all of the things, they'll control what other people think about you. So they'll give you one story and give everybody else in the family or the friend circle another story. And it may only be tweaked a little bit so that when you speak up or when you answer a question, everybody else but you has the same story and you do not. So then you notice, even if it's not said, you notice people glancing at each other with questioning looks on their face, and that makes you doubt yourself. So gaslighting also works on ruining your credibility.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And that brings in a little bit of the imposter syndrome side of things as well, right? So
Yeah.
credibility, and I've had that in my business with people, and to be honest, it's why I stopped teaching mediumship, because, and I've heard a couple of quite well-known mediums talk about this as well, is that you often get people coming to you to learn the spiritual side of things when they've got a whole world of their own personal baggage going on and toxic patterns playing out and not dealing with it. And we have to do both at the same time in order to teach in a really clear way. And another medium said she stopped teaching mediumship because she got sick of producing toxic little mediums that were running out into the world, making people worse than they before they came.
I've seen that a lot in the industry because the coaching industry isn't regulated. And so a lot of people will do coaching courses and get some experience and be told by their trainer they can go out and coach anything and do anything. And I stopped coaching for about 2 years because there was so many cowboys out there, well-intended, but their integrity was misrepresented because they were taught they could go and do anything with anyone. And there were about three of us out of 48 in the very original class that I did that refused to do that because we didn't want to be associated with, it's somebody's life that you are dealing with. And so I stepped away for a couple of years too. And the trainer called me and said, "What are you doing? You could have whatever you want and do whatever you want." And I said, "Not if I can't sleep at night."
And I think that, this brings in the imposter syndrome side of things as well. We can often do the work for getting praise, right? And to be thought of as, oh my God, they're amazing, and look at how successful and important and all of those things they are. It's the come back to your why. Why are you doing this work? What's your purpose? And if you're doing it for praise, good luck.
Exactly. That'll peter out. That will peter out very quickly.
Yeah, right. And that's part of people pleasing, isn't it?
All of it, all of it. Look, I sit here. The only reason I teach what I teach is not because I got it right. It's because I screwed up so badly for so long. I was the consummate people pleaser. I was manipulating situations and very controlling because I grew up in a very psychologically very unsafe environment, and I never wanted anybody else to feel like that. So in a very unhealthy way, said yes to everything, people pleased to everybody, controlled and manipulated situations to keep everybody happy. And I ended up exhausted and wasn't, and I also, wasn't getting the love and the acceptance that I thought I would because I created a situation. People pleasers can quite often be used a lot, and become doormats. So I was like textbook dreadful in with a beautiful smile on my face and the best intentions, but no idea of what I was doing until I started studying and learning. And then, as you said, it's taking a pause and sitting back. And the first thing you need to do is look at yourself. Where am I responsible for what I've created? Because it's very easy to say, oh my gosh, all men are turds and everybody's treated me like this. However, like you said, it's like, what's in me that's tolerating that or accepting it? Because I can't, I went through a stage with my first ex. I'm like, oh, he was terrible and he did this and he did that. I chose him. I sought approval from him and tried to make him, I always wanted to be the best wife ever, and I tolerated the poor behavior. I chose to stay. I chose to have a child. I chose to go back after I escaped twice. Do we not learn the lesson? And that's the thing. I had to sit and go, oh, wow. It was just so confronting.
So I did the back and forwarding for 9 years, right? And so It's really interesting. One of the things that you said that I want to pick up on, or two things actually, is the word responsibility. We are responsible. And here's the truth that I want everyone to hear and know. In truth, you are responsible for everything that you're experiencing in your life. Good, bad, ugly, beautiful, messy, clear, all of it. At some level, there is a choice that you can make. It might be challenging, it might be hard, you might need resources, you might need support, you might need all of those things. And trust me, I know that because teaching domestic violence courses and also homicide and stuff in criminology, I get it. I get it. And we can then engage in sometimes the blame shame game, which is a hugely toxic behavior for those who, and I was too. So I want to pick up on that responsibility and the blame and shame side of things. The blame and shame thing is what gets you going back and forwards. That was me going, oh, they're to blame. I need them to do this, and it's all exterior stuff, right? And it's okay if you're in that space. And I want to say I'm not judging because I've been there, done that, right? And I get it. And it's sometimes a really easy way to give ourself relief from what we're experiencing. Because we don't want to look at that inner stuff that's going on that gets us really anxious and overwhelmed and, oh my God, how the hell do I get out of this? And like it's just too much, right? And so then the shame comes in. What will others think of me? What will people think if I step out of this? And what will I, or even shaming ourselves, I should be in a much better place. I should have this, I should have that, and
And how could I let this happen again? I think one thing important to point out is we are 100% responsible for how we're experiencing our life now. The initial event was not our fault. It shouldn't have happened. We should have been supported. Whatever happened to or around us that started this off, that bit, because I often will have people really get antsy about that. I didn't ask for the thing. No, you didn't, and you didn't deserve it. What that did, when you're a little person, created all of these decisions and stories that had you allowing the bit other stuff to happen to you over time. And as I said, it's ignoring those red flags, because we want to be loved and accepted. It's like some people think that sex is love. So they either become promiscuous or accept a partner who willingly provides that part, but the rest of it is horrible. And so we make so many allowances. And as you said, that shame comes into how did I choose this? What's wrong with me? How do I get out of it? What are people going to think? When I escaped from my first partner, my parents told him where I was and said, come and get her, and then said to me, don't you dare embarrass the family. And they knew what he was like. So when we don't have support, it is horribly lonely because generally, externally, everything looks okay. And the other thing is, it's quite likely we've been protecting this person from public opinion and/or building them up and making allowances or excuses for their behavior. So by the time we disclose or do something, everyone has a completely different version of this person. And therefore, we've gaslit ourselves, basically. We've created a fake situation to make it okay for us because we're worried about what other people will think.
And look, I love all of that you're sharing because there's bits and pieces in amongst there that, I can see my old self and my past self. And
Same, yeah.
I do love and I love that you talked about it's not your fault what you experienced, right? There is a difference between we are responsible for we're not responsible for other people's behaviors or decisions or choices that may have been an abusive event. And I want to call it an event rather than, right? So you're not responsible for the event. You're responsible for how you then move forward with that,
Yes,
whether
100%.
it's embracing that blame, shame, whether it's, the gaslighting, the all of those things. And it's totally okay. What I want everyone to know is that it's totally okay if you've moved forward with those stories and those patterns for you, if that was how you coped with it. Because I sit here today and go, I'm so incredibly grateful for the experiences that I had and the experiences that I allowed, because I can now step into teaching, supporting others. It's part of my path. It's part of my purpose, as hard as those things were at the time, and how incredibly lonely and, feeling like you had no support and no help and no one loves me and no one sees me and knows, like, right? It's that little child sitting in the corner going, can someone just see me here? Right? And that's how I see it. And I love that previous past version of myself and that beautiful little child that did that, because I tell you what, she built some goddamn resilience. And she knows what it feels like when a red flag comes up, and she knows what it feels like to go, oh, that's a boundary for me. And she now knows how to communicate and ask for what she needs and go, hey, that's not okay for me. What I need from you right now is this, right? And so that little girl that sat in the corner all curled up and, what the hell's going on here? And I'm not safe. And, thank her.
Yes,
Or
absolutely.
him, for those of the males that are watching, because she or he has got you to where you are today. And they are responsible for getting you to where you are today. And the one thing that I often say to people is sometimes that little girl or that little boy can continue playing out that stuff in the present moment. And a really good, powerful way of reminding yourself that that was back then and not now, because we bring that past into the present, is to use an affirmation that goes, that was then, this is now. Right? And it's just kind of changing that story and that process that then kicks off the rest of it.
I think one thing that I'm just going to interject quickly because of the way my brain works, the little person in the corner, all afraid and, why I can't, and everything is fear driven that we do. So even when we acknowledge that we're in a top in a horrible relationship, whether it's a family member or a partner, we will convince ourselves because we want to feel safe that it's worse, it's going to be worse and more painful to leave than it is to stay. Because our subconscious mind, that little child, is desperately trying to keep safe and they will sacrifice everything to feel safe, even if it's a false sense of safety. I remember convincing myself it was easier to stay, it was less painful to stay. That's just what I wanted to quickly
Yeah,
interrupt with.
and I love that because I'm aware of I've got a couple of clients that are popping in my mind who are in that scenario at the moment where they're looking at, I'm aware that there's toxic stuff going on. How do I step out of this? And there's a bit of a struggle there. And it's totally okay to feel that struggle for a little bit, right? Because what we're doing is we're detaching, and this is just what's coming in, detaching our, what we've done is we've given someone else our sense of safety, external of us, and handed our safety, our worth, our enoughness, our whatever to someone or something external of us. And what we're doing in that struggle is that we're working out, and I want to use that phrase, how we can bring back or call back from an energetic perspective our worthiness, our enoughness, our safety, because in truth, you are already safe. That is within you. It's just a stretch and a shift and a transformation that it takes to get from looking at that external to that internal and going, okay, how do I do that? And it's one step at a time, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's about asking for help. I remember, and this is my advice because I've done it a couple of times, unfortunately, is get legal help. Go to legal aid if you're not financially set up, and legal aid will give you advice, or hire a lawyer and just see what your position is, because knowledge about what you're entitled to is gives you power and safety, and it's very empowering. And reaching out, you can go to a GP and ask for support and get 10 counselling sessions. That's what it is down here in New South Wales and Canberra, for free through a government initiative. Just ask for a mental health plan, and if they don't know specifically, they put you on to the right people to help you get support. Because it's when you feel alone, you actually convince yourself that you are alone. However, when you start reaching out and sharing with people, you realize, one, how common it is, and two, what resources are available to you. You know, both times I left with a baby under one arm and a suitcase under the other. That's it, with two different partners. And I was terrified, and I had my family against me on this. And it is very empowering to just do it anyway. And one thing that's important, I have a lot of people who say, oh, look, I'm staying for the children. I guarantee you, your children will be so much happier with two parents who are separated, and at least one of them is happy, because you learn what you live. So those kids are learning, whatever's going on that's awful in the relationship, they're learning to tolerate that for themselves down the track. Or they're learning to become that down the track. So what we don't heal in ourselves, we're handing to our kids. And I know that's heart-wrenching to hear. I'm an example of it. You know, generationally, I'm an absolute product of, you can trace it right back. And it is very hard, but it's harder to stay, and regret is harder.
And want to pick up on that word empower, because I think that gets used in different contexts, right? And when we talk about, and I love how you talked about reach out for support, because really the way in which we empower ourselves is to gather knowledge, wisdom, tools, resources. That is what empower, like empower yourself with that knowledge, empower yourself with the wisdom, empower yourself with support, right?
And because you know when you were saying, you know, we're a little child in the corner, we just want someone to help us. And I think it's yes, you absolutely, it's wonderful to have people help you, but if you take responsibility for asking for help and implementing the advice that you've been given, because when you're rescued, and I'm not talking about extreme cases here, but when you are rescued, and we literally, because the little person in us is saying, somebody please save me from this. Somebody please stop them from doing this. Because they're deep down, there's a part of us that knows that this shouldn't be happening to us, right? When someone else rescues us, it's not empowering. When we go out and we seek support and we take action and we are brave, incredible things happen. And the only way to gain confidence in all of this is to keep small promises. Start keeping small promises to yourself. If that's next time I feel it in my body to say no, I'm going to say no, regardless of whether or not, oh, but you always do that for us. Yes, but I'm not now. You know, it's keeping small promises to yourself. That's just a little boundary example. I'm off on another tangent.
No, you're not, because I like and I love that our conversations go wherever they're meant to go. And that's how spirit works as well, right? And I trust that people are hearing what they need to hear for their own journey. I want to talk a little bit about that rescuer, because the people pleaser, the rescuer, the perpetrator, the drama triangle that sits
Oh,
there in
God.
relationships, right? I love
Yeah. I
it.
wanted to rescue everybody except myself. Everybody.
Yeah, because, and we often engage in that rescuer, like the people pleaser can often become the rescuer because they know what it feels like to not have anyone turn up, or that's the story, right? So we attempt to rescue and fix and da da da. And I like how you talked about disempower, because when we do that, we actually disempower them. And there's a difference between empowering someone and disempowering them in terms of, the rescuer become the coach that asks questions of them so that they reflect and go within, because they have the answers for themselves. So what you tell that person is, I don't trust you to get the answer for yourself or to know how to get out of this. Right? And so that is incredibly, it brings a whole new layer to stuff.
Oh, it's yeah, isn't it? It's like there's a difference between lifting someone out of a hole and pulling them out.
And the what go and this is one of my triggers that still sometimes comes up for me. And I'm really conscious of it, is someone telling you what to do. It's incredibly intrusive, and it's incredibly disempowering, and it's incredibly toxic. I'm an independent woman who has lots of knowledge, lots of wisdom, lots of skills, and if I don't know, which I also don't know a lot of things, and I'm open to learning, I'm open to learning how to move myself out of things and patterns and transform stories and all of those things, because I cannot embed and embody a new pattern, a new process, a new way of being until I have done it myself.
Yes, exactly.
And so we repeat and we repeat and we repeat. And we often make that, and I call it an energy loop, that repeated pattern bigger and bigger and bigger. Each time we don't stop and go, okay, I've got the answer here, and let's change it and choose something different. Each time we repeat it, you're being asked to make a different choice. You're asked to make a different decision, whether it's taking responsibility, whether it's reaching out for support, whether it's putting a boundary in place and saying, no, stop. Yeah, I've had some incredibly uncomfortable conversations with people that have allowed me to stretch and grow. They're no longer uncomfortable for me to have, because I've taught myself to step into them and go, I've noticed a toxic pattern playing out here, and I did it not long ago with my PhD supervisors, funnily enough. One of them is engaged in a pattern. And I was triggered big time and noticed it and had to take some time to reflect and move through all the emotion and the flooding and all of that stuff that was coming up, and went, what is it that's really playing out here? And it was my people pleaser. I was trying to meet their needs, and in amongst it, my needs weren't getting heard or met. So I had to actually step in and go, I'm actually noticing that we've got a pattern playing out, and it's really not okay for me. And it's incredibly brave to do that in a work context with a person who may be in a position more powerful than you. And I'm willing to do it. what was my need that wasn't getting met? This, and this. And why was it, what's the result if it doesn't get met? This, and this. And am I willing to accept that? Actually, no, I'm not anymore. Right. And so we've got to be willing to have those uncomfortable conversations with ourselves first and then with others.
And that's a great, it's a fantastic example of we teach people how to treat us. And so if somebody's treating you a certain way, you've taught them that they can do that. And the only way to change that, as you said, is to have the courage to speak up after you've figured out specifically. It's going into that conversation intentionally.
And I'm blessed to have a husband who is conscious, is present, becomes aware when his own patterns are playing out and allows me to play my own out. And I did a few weeks ago, and he said, I came to the awareness myself. I knew it was sitting there and I was moving through it, and he just was holding that space for it. And when I got the insight, I said to him, oh, I've just become aware of a pattern and an unconscious belief. And I said, shared it with him, and he went, oh, thank God.
See that you can have a lot of fun with it.
Right.
It can be a lot of fun, and it can actually really enhance a relationship and friendships as well. When you go, oh, I've just realized that I've whatever it is. And not everybody has the skills. As you said, we were never taught this in school. So it's about doing what you can to educate yourself about how to communicate better, about how the brain works, about human behavior. And it's not complicated.
No, and I know that one of the ladies that came to the Mirror of the Soul retreat that we had in September last year was uncomfortable with the directness that I said some things, because a couple of times there was my boundary was overstepped, and they were uncomfortable with my directness. And the way they described it was based on their experiences. And I said, yep, understand that. I'm aware of that. If I'm not direct and clear with you, how do you know where my boundary sits? Right? I'm not going to confuse you by going, oh, da, 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 and being a little bit flowery with it. It comes from a place of love for self first. And you second, because I have to empower myself enough to go, if I allow this, I end up in this space.
Starts a snowball.
And, for her, it was the most powerful insight that she's had. And it's created a significant shift in her relationships, where she now communicates her boundaries a lot more directly, a lot more clearly, because there was, oh, I don't like this, but da, 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 and it's like, hang on, which is it? And we often do that. So, communication is key, and it's
Absolutely.
communicating with ourselves first. And one of the things that we can do in relationships, whether it's romantic or friendships or even in the workspace, is when someone has some stuff coming up or a toxic pattern that's playing out, communicate and go, hey, I'm just noticing this. That opens the communication channels, right? Or we can say, what's playing out for you, what's coming up for you right now. And what that does is lets the person go, oh, okay, I'll come back to myself and reflect here. And then my next question is often, what do you need? Right? And we often don't get asked that.
That's right. We are, like you said, that takes back to what you said about we automatically go into telling them what to do. But when you're saying what feels good for you right now or what do you need right now, quite often they're stumped when you ask them that because they're not used to being asked it. But it's putting the power back in their hands to become conscious about what's going on and intentional about what happens next.
And I had a colleague and a friend that was in overwhelm, and I said, what do you need right now? And I don't know. I don't know. I'm like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
And that's the
And
best gift you can give them is not make them wrong for not knowing.
yeah. And it's like, okay, cool. You'll figure that out. And, we kept talking and I just kept holding space. And she eventually went, actually, what I need is everyone to get out of my space. And I went, awesome. So how can you make that happen? Right. And how can I support you in that? Is, my husband and I often do that conversation. What do you need from me right now? Or, okay, what do you need? How can I support you to get that? And trust me, that's taken a lot of work to get to. So we could talk for hours
I
about
know, I
this,
was just
but
looking
we
at
haven't
time.
even talked about imposter syndrome.
We can do that another time.
Yeah, so three tips for navigating toxic relationships.
I would say, are you happy? And pay attention to how you feel. And if you're truly not happy, then what do you want to happen? If you're not happy, what do you want to happen? And where can you get support to help that along? And the third thing would be start reading some books and listening to some podcasts and educating yourself about communication, connection, relationships, and reach out for help.
I love that. So the what do you need and the where can you get it? I want to flag a little bit of the educating yourself. Make sure that you feel into whether it feels right for you,
Oh, absolutely.
because I know that sometimes when we're in that navigating a toxic relationship, particularly if there's gaslighting going on, we can already be in confusion or doubt or uncertainty and be questioning ourselves. And sometimes when we listen to things and hear things that, we can start questioning our own self and whether it's us or
Absolutely.
them or, am I the toxic one or, and if you're doing that, my tip is you're probably not.
Yeah, that's magnifying the problem. I would shift that then to speak to the right people, because quite often I remember I would tell anyone that would listen, and I'm talking 30 years ago, 35 years ago, anyone who would listen, and none of them were in a position to help. Some of them gave horrible advice. So it's about speaking to the right people and go gently, go slowly.
Yeah, beautiful. And that's why I went feel into, right? And what I want everyone to know is trust your feeling.
Start paying attention to yourself.
Listen to yourself.
Yes.
That's often and often when we step out of and have that space to reflect a little bit, and this was true for me. We look back and we go, oh yeah, there was my red flags. Yeah, there was the moment that I had a choice and a decision I could have made to go, yep, I'll accept this, or no, I won't. And I think what I want people to know is that you are enough just simply by being,
Oh, yes.
and you are worthy just by being in your clarity, in your mess, in your happiness, in your joy, in your sadness, in your frustration, in your anger, you are enough. You are worthy. And sometimes when we turn up in the fullness of who we are, sometimes there are people who can't hold that. And that's not a reflection of you. It just means that you need someone different to be able to hold the fullness of who you are. And so trust your soul, your knowing to know who can hold you in the fullness of who you are.
Yeah, absolutely. That's
Yeah.
beautiful.
Thanks. Thank you so much for joining me again. And yeah, we'll have to do another episode on imposter syndrome. because it's an interesting one to explore.
Yes, yeah. This is a good foundation to that. So, because it does tie in. So, I'm really looking forward to that.
Awesome. If people want to know more about what you do, where can they find information?
My website, justinedean.com, and my books on there, and some blogs and information about me are on there as well. So that's probably the best place to start. And when you go to the homepage, if you want, you can sign up to my newsletter. I've started doing monthly newsletters.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you
Thank
so
you.
much for joining me again.
Thanks for having me.
Pleasure. Those of you who are interested in more information about what I do as well, jump on the website, thebarefootmedium.com.au, and connect with me on all the different socials, if you feel drawn. Thank you once again, and look forward to seeing you in the next episode of Barefoot with Spirit podcast. And for members in the Mediums Lounge, look forward to next month.